Okay, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 8. I'm going to read two passages of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 8 and 1 John 4. We'll be in 1 John 4. So I suppose maybe put your ribbon there if you have one. And then Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to try to bring out a point and then work, of course, off of that point. But Ephesians 5, verse 18, very familiar verse. Okay, Ephesians 5:18, there it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So it's God's will, then, that you be filled with his Spirit. My question to you is, are you? And with that, you might say, "I don't know." Okay. Well, God's word tells us those things. If we're not filled with the Spirit, then we need revival. You need revival. So my purpose then this morning, or at least I hope, is to give you what you need to know whether or not you are in need of revival. Because you've heard people say we need revival, right? And so if I said to you, who needs revival, you would probably feel compelled to raise your hand like I would, right? Because that's what you're supposed to say. But the truth of the matter is, how do you know that? How do you know that you need revival? What is going on in your life that causes that to be the case? You're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. So am I. Are you? Are you not? Do you know how to measure that? Okay, this is where we're going today. So go to 1 John chapter 4. And there, it gives us a warning, you might say. And in verse 1 of chapter 4, the Apostle John here is warning his congregation. And he says here, "Beloved," okay, that's in Greek, agapetoi, if you care to know that. Okay, that's the beloved, those who are loved. It's used extensively in the book of Jude. It's used in a lot of different books. It's the beloved. So that's a title given to those people that I would think are in the congregations, okay, that we're assembling. Those are the beloved. What does he say to the beloved? "Believe not every spirit." Okay, so this tells us that there's more than one spirit. I just read to you that you should be filled with the Spirit. All right, so here John says, "Believe not every spirit." What can we conclude there? There's more than one spirit. There's the Holy Spirit, and then there's other spirits. What other spirits are there? Now, if we were in a classroom, I would ask that question and ask for a response, but we're not. Okay, so there's a spirit of contention, right? This is not something that it's not tangible. These are things, but we understand that it's a spirit of contention. It's somebody's way of appearing. Okay, there's spirits, but then there are other spirits. There are spirits that bring false doctrine. There are spirits that bring falsehoods. Okay, and those are the spirits he's talking about here. And he says, "Try the spirits." What he means is that there's different doctrines, teachings, different things that enter into the church. All right, we'll look at these things. But he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." But what is the command here? Try the spirits. Try them. In other words, test them. Figure out if this is a spirit of truth, whether it's God's spirit or if it's not. So in order to do that, just think with me, how am I going to do that? How can I do that? You have to know how to test it. All right, if you're a mechanic, all right, something's wrong with that car. What's wrong with it? You open up the hood to a lot of people, it just looks like a bunch of tubes and wires and things, okay? And it is. But there are certain diagnostics. There are certain things that you check, certain things that you cancel out, some things that you check off your list, right? But you have to have a list. That's the point. So try the spirits. And this is what John is saying here. Thankfully, he doesn't just say to try the spirits without telling us how to do that. And I'll get to that. So he says, "Try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." By the time John was writing his epistle of 1 John here, the church, as it were, or the assembly of believers at that time, were already seen as having been infiltrated. Okay? So the book of Jude says that there are many men that have crept in unawares. It doesn't say that are creeping in or will creep in. He says they crept in. They're already there. So the church at that time was seen as already having been infiltrated. So it's important for you and I to understand this, that the directions that Jude gives in 1 John here and others is how to deal with false prophecy that's already infiltrating the church. Okay? What is interesting to me is that nowhere in the book of Jude or in 1 John here does he say, kick them out. Doesn't say anything like that. He says to make sure that you're right and look to the Lord. Okay, and he'll take care of these things. Our job is to try the spirits. He doesn't say here, kick them out. He doesn't say here, discipline them. He says, try them. Okay, so it's very important we understand that each of us has an individual responsibility here to do these things. So he says, try the spirits. So my point then of the sermon, as I said, is to try to get you to see that. So I'll ask you again, do you know? Do you know how to try the spirits? Do you know what elements should be in your own personal life that would tell you whether or not you're allowing yourself to be taken away by a spirit other than the Spirit of God? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for us. I ask, Lord, that you bless us. And as we look at your word and as we look at your view of the church and what the way that these writers saw the church and what you've written here for us, we know that this is the preserved word of God. It is written, and it is always written, and so it will always be so. And so, Lord, thank you for the fact that we can have the understanding that as soon as these things were written, they were preserved immediately, and they were inspired immediately. It didn't take time, and we have them. We have them since the time that John penned it until now. It has been your preserved word, and we have these things. And so we just open it and teach it and preach it, assuming it to be absolutely true. And so, Lord, I say that because sometimes people might get to the point, like I do at times, to think that it doesn't apply to me. But if it's absolute truth, then it is set apart as true for everybody. There are absolutes, and anything in the Bible is absolutely true. And some things may be not true for those in different time periods, but these things are true for us. It's a New Testament book, and this is true for us, and we need to look into it. So I ask, Lord, now that we would look at your Bible, yes, of course, but then to look introspectively and see whether or not these things are so, and that maybe we've let some things slip, and we've let our personal responsibility to try the spirits and to discern these things to have gone by the wayside. So I ask, Lord, that you help me to make it clear today. In Jesus' name, amen. The New Testament, as I said, says a lot about false teachers. And a lot of times people like to use the term, the phrase, by your fruits you shall know them, right? And